present your bodies a living sacrifice before me, says the Spirit of grace, and see what I'll do. Try me, prove me, wherewith, see what I'll do. See if I'll not take you to experiences beyond your understanding and places, the penetration of my peace and grace and assurance. Live in the done before the done is done, says the Spirit of grace. Live in the place of completion, and you'll find joy that'll usher you and take you by the hand. It'll wrap itself around your shoulders, squeeze you tight, and usher you down the aisle of your deliverance and of your fulfillment of your miracle, says the Spirit of grace. For I provided a way that was as sure as the end result, says the Spirit of grace. The foundation that you're on is unshakable, says the Spirit of grace. Stay in this place. Do not quench the Spirit. Follow after those things that you've been taught by my Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. Desire these things above all riches and all honor and all desires and all distractions in this life. Cleave to these things as one would cleave and desire the greatest desire of their heart. Those things pull to you as if possession was beyond anything that you desired. And I'll come. I'll fulfill these longings. But I am to him who seeks me. And I am to her who comes after me. Yes, Jesus. You'll not find these things. You'll not stumble on these things, says the Lord. They'll not come and get you. I'm asking you to come and get them. Seek me, says the Lord. And I'll do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could think or ask, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Could you stay in that presence all day? I encourage you, when you leave the house of God, I know you either go out or go home to eat or whatever. When the presence of God is on you, court it. When I say court it, see how long you can stay in it at times. If you get opportunities during the day and even after an anointed service, fix yourself a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. Find 30 minutes to get alone and just saturate yourself in presence. What is said from the pulpit is not nearly as important as what is said in your heart by the Holy Spirit. The commentary of the Holy Spirit said to you, while I'm speaking, is more important than what I'm saying, although what I'm saying is important. But to every one of you, the Holy Spirit is there with you. If you're born again, then he's inside of you, and the Holy Spirit wants to speak. He wants to give you direction. He wants to give you healing, healing physically and healing emotionally. He really does want things to make sense. I know a lot of things don't make sense. And a lot of times in my life, it's been months before, sometimes years before, I was able to hear what God was saying. When you're in a barrage of all kinds of things going on and it's so much is going against your mind, it's really sometimes difficult to hear God, not because God won't speak, but because the clutter is so difficult to wade past. But the more that you're able to just put your dependency upon the Lord, he'll begin to talk to you, and not in a condemning way, but in a restorative way, so that things not only make more sense, but you can see where God was at, even when it didn't appear. Sometimes it looks like God's not there or wasn't there, or why wasn't he there, or why wasn't, and it doesn't seem like it even makes sense. But God is for us who believe and those who trust and pray. He's always there to whatever measure he possibly can be. He is merciful. He's gracious. So gracious. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One of the greatest miracles of all miracles, you know, they talk about miracles that we talk about, the blind seeing, lame walking, on and on and on I could give on the physical side. But I do believe and I do agree that the greatest miracles are those miracles that are the changing of men's hearts, where people are wrapped up in a place where there's so much against. Paul said it this way. He said that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them so that they cannot receive. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, he said, Satan cometh immediately. There were four types of ground. One ground were those who heard the word, and immediately the enemy was able to take the word which was sown, so that it never, ever bore fruition. In other words, they never were really born again. They heard it, but it was such a cloud to them, and their heart was so adverse to coming in at the time. They weren't ready. What I started to say was, one of the greatest miracles I ever saw was with Mike's dad, as far as a truly deathbed born again experience. And I'm not going to try to recount, although I'll listen and follow God as much, because it's not my job to give what I know, but to give what I hear. Pastor Dave trained all of us that way. Homer and I seek to follow God in that, even when we prepare, and even when the Holy Spirit does give us notes or something he's told us to say, we always have to listen. But I remember, and Mike could help me out on this, but we're not going to go into the depth of it, except that his dad was basically dying, and he was in a hospital. Was it Sebring or where? Lake Placid? He was over there for a while, and he was back and forth in his health. Jewish man. And Mike is 100% physically Jewish and 100% born again, spirit filled. Hallelujah. And I'm privileged to have him as a son-in-law. He's not a son-in-law, he's my son. I have two, I don't have son-in-laws, I have sons. But his dad was very intellectual, had a cross understanding of so many different subjects. And through the years, I would try to warm up to him at times and talk to him and sow Christ into him. And he was never belligerent, but he was really smart about just acting like he really didn't hear you and just change the subject. And so I would, and I'd visited him at one time when he was in a nursing home recuperating for an operation in Fort Myers, tried to get him born again then. No way. Not agnostic in the sense of the word. He probably believed, but very Jewish, but didn't have a staunch Jewish walk with God. But anyway, we traveled over. Mike called me, said, Dad is passing. And I know one thing. Anybody that loves anybody, family member, you don't want them slipping out into eternity without Christ. But we have this assurance that if we stand and we pray, that God will come. Even if it's the last minute, even if it's the last 30 seconds, even if it's the last. And I found out this from the Word of God, which was so powerful. The Bible says it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto the salvation thereof. it's really, salvation really takes place in the heart, in accepting and saying yes to Jesus. I surrender. Receive me. I receive. Somebody said, oh, no, no. If they don't say it with their mouth, they're not born again. Well, then tell me then, if you go into a African tribe and cut out every African tribe member's tongue, and a missionary comes in after you and says, okay, this is the gospel, and if you want to be born again, you must say this out loud. Mum's the word. Nobody can speak. Are they destined for hell? Oh, my God. You don't have to be a genius in the spirit to realize that it's something of the heart. And then out of that experience, the confession is made thereunto. He was in a coma. We just knew that he probably knew that we were there. But I stood there and simply presented Jesus again. And Mike's got a hold of his hand. Here's a Jewish man that is just days, has denied Christ, wouldn't even have the entrance of the knowledge of letting it be preached to him for decades. And I simply presented that, and I said, all you have to do is say yes. Just say yes. Mike's holding his hands. And we were aware that God was in the room. God. Holy Spirit. You're so real. I said, Marty, I'm going to pray. You can't speak, but I'm going to pray. If you say yes, let us know. Mike's holding his hand. I said, and I'm talking about, there was no response up until after this, until this moment. I prayed the prayer. I said, say yes. Mike said, Dad, will you do it? Dad, will you do this? I said, Marty, we want to see you in heaven. Will you do this? And Mike began to weep. He began to weep because strength came back in his dad's arm and in his hand, and he squeezed that hand with a signal. I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes to eternity. I'm saying yes to born again. Homer preached, incredible, about the man who said yes on the cross beside Jesus. Just moments. You and I are called to reconciliation. This is our calling. This is what we live for. This is what we've been called. We've been called to usher in the lost. Would you slip your hands up and magnify? You're so real, Jesus. You're so real, Jesus. You're so real, Jesus. You're so real, Jesus. You're so real. You're so real, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Stay with me, Harry. Thanks. Now, this prophecy came Wednesday night, unbeknowing to me. I did not expect it. I didn't. And I know that you believe this, but I don't come in here believing that I'm supposed to prophesy or try to rehearse a prophecy. But this is a present day speakings of the Lord, and they come as the Holy Spirit. It's one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and it flows through me quite often. you'll hear me speak in tongues, and you might think it's, well, it's a tongue and interpretation, but it's really, you could say that. I'm not going to dispute that. But really, and I didn't try to mimic this, but I don't know. It just happened. But Pastor Dave would say that tongues usually would alert him to a prophecy that was coming. And I've found that in my ministry, that I'll often start speaking in tongues, maybe a few words out loud in preface to, so the prophecy is not that short burst of tongues, and the prophecy thereafter is not an interpretation of that short burst. That wouldn't even make sense to you, but it's kind of an alerting, here's something coming. And it's probably for my benefit more than anybody else's, but nevertheless, thank you, Jesus. This prophecy, let me read another. It was a shorter prophecy, but still very precious, that came as well. Spend time with me. This came earlier in the service. I hear the Lord saying, He's saying, you can have all of me you want. And we say yes to that. Get lost in me, spend time with me. Be in my presence and allow my presence to saturate you. Allow my presence to make you brand new as never before. Going from glory to glory in me, so bask in my presence. Spend time with me, worshiping me, being in intimacy with me. For I love to be with you and have so much more for you. So spend time with me, says the Lord. Then later, the one that I was previously speaking about, the one that I shared, we don't have it on our website as of yet, but it will be in the next couple of days. But I wanted to read this for you, or to you, and I wanted you to listen, because it speaks of where that we are going. It'll be interesting enough to see if we get into any scripture here in a little bit. I won't keep you longer than normal, just because I've exhorted these other things. This particular prophecy is called, or we titled, The Fringes of My House Must Come. The Fringes of My House Must Come Back for This Revival. The Lord said, birth this thing, says the Spirit of Grace. For the vision I've placed in this house has come through much intercession. It does not matter the amount of the intercessors. What I've taken is, I've stirred inside. Now, this is an incredible word for me, because it appeared, I've heard this in the prophecy, and I don't think in 30 years, I don't know, Tulsa can help me out, because Tulsa, the mothership, keeps record of words. I don't know that I've ever used this word before, or the Holy Spirit's ever used this word, I should say. What I've taken is, I've stirred, he says, inside a cauldron of my presence. And those who have poured into this cauldron, the cauldron's a boiling pot, if you will. And those who have poured into this cauldron, into this place, into this pot of intercession, those that have placed their lives to a place on temporary hold in many different areas, giving themselves over to the purging process. And yet I'm requesting of those who have ears to hear, and those who have fallen in love with me, not of works. They've not fallen in love with works or the applause of man, but they desire something genuine, something real. I'm asking them to go to another place to continue on this journey. For I have many more in this house. Now, this is the important part. This catches the part of the title. I have many more in this house than those who have associated themselves with this house and this ministry that are on the fringes, but they're back and forth. They love me. They're not back and forth as in sin. He differentiates. He really gets specific. But they're back and forth in their focus, in their focus, in their place of giving themselves over to what I have called them to do and sacrificing and yielding their bodies a living sacrifice. Pray for these intercessors, those of you that still have your focus, pray for these. Do not, that's my part, I'm just saying, back to him. Do not condemn them, but pray. Pray for the eyes of their understanding. For there is a warfare, there is a warfare. Pray for your brothers and sisters that'll join in to pouring in this oil into this cauldron of my glory, this golden pot of my glory that'll be lifted up as an incense before me. You know, the book of Revelation talks about the prayers of the saints being lifted up as incense. And he's asking us to pray for our fellow brothers and sisters. I've sent more. Now, this is important. He said, I've sent more angels, even recently, says the Spirit of grace, and people will come. They will come. Those that you did not even invite will come. They'll hear about it. I prophesied to you 25 plus years ago that highways would come in here. And I spoke through the man that you call your pastor. And then the Lord, I said this, but it's in parentheses once you see this. Not the pastor now, I'm clarifying, but not me. Not me, but Pastor Dave when he prophesied. Now back to the prophecy. That men would come from all places. There would be a gathering. There would be a gathering from all parts of the earth to this place because of the hub of revival. I said these things to you. I created, listen to this, I created cities that are coming your way. I created universities for the purpose of gleaning university students that will see the power. They will witness with their own eyes, the blind seeing. They'll know firsthand that it was no gimmick. I said to a man that was used to come down here and this is way before Ave Maria. I said, you know, the guy that was, I can't think of his name now, but he owned Domino's Pizza. He gave like $250 million to the project and kind of started the university because he was disgruntled with Notre Dame. And he said, I want a university that is more traditionally Catholic. And I called, I said to this guy that had just left, I think I sent out a group text or something. I don't think so then because I don't even know if we were texting back then. But I said, they're building a university down here. And he goes, what is it going to call it? Swine University? Ha, ha, ha. Now, we've got a whole city out there. Fort Myers is just, if you go down 82 now and hit 850, Fort Myers is right there almost. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. When you go around the curve, it's coming. It's coming in on us. The complexities of Immokalee are changing for not just the growth of 22 plus million people coming, but there's a great revival that's coming and now is. Hallelujah. Carl, we want them all, right? We want our portion. He's into the Fellowship of Christian Athletes now, and he's begging me to do more, get some more of our stuff to them. Pray for me. Hallelujah. That Carl don't beat me up before we get it over to him. Hallelujah. And when you see these things, says the Spirit of grace, when Jesus' meetings start, the harvest that is ripe, be ready, be diligent. For much coming and much going and expansion will take place, says the Spirit of the Lord. I have property. Oh, I did not think of this. I'm going to say this as a wow before service. I heard myself say this. I was like, oh, okay. For much coming and much going and expansion will take place, says the Spirit of the Lord. I have property already set aside. Somebody owns property they're on our property right now. They're on our property. I don't know where they're at, but they need to. I hope they enjoyed it for a little bit. Maybe a big cow pasture somewhere, but they're on our property. They got cows on our property, maybe. I don't know. I have property already set aside. It's already set aside that you don't even know of that you'll move into, and I'm preparing it now, says the Spirit of the Lord. There's a great harvest. You'll not build a church, you'll build a hub for revival, says the Spirit of the Lord. I've called you to come in. Generals will be promoted because they can be trusted, says the Spirit of grace. Men and women, almost done, alike will be promoted to guide, to lead and to guide, says the Spirit of the Lord. The book of Acts and the replica of the book of Acts will be duplicated in this time and in this season. It is closer than what you think, says the Spirit of the Lord. Again, pray for those that are distracted, that they would bring forth an added addition, repeats himself, an added addition to this glory. Pray that their distractions come off and that they sell themselves a ransom unto me, that they give their bodies a ransom, that they unshackle things. For the enemy has blinded their eyes, and this is where the enemy blinds people's eyes, to believe that they cannot do this and that the selling out means more than what it means. He misconstrues what selling out means. You can work, the Lord says. You can have families. You can do much business, but the selling out that I'm asking you to do is to be obedient. To be obedient to this call. Come into this place of giving your bodies a living sacrifice and loving me more than the world, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Can we say amen to that? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. We've got 27 minutes or so. I want to read this. Isaiah chapter 43. And then I think all that we'll probably do is to get through the first of these decrees. Let me, as you have turned there, let me read some of our angelic scripture. We're kind of in an angelic series right now. And so we've been creating, God's trying to create a spiritual awareness, not to replace the Holy Spirit as God, as the comforter, as the finger of God, as the leader, as the guide in our life. But those angelic beings being a part of our confessions, that they also make it happen. They're the ones that actually are the military part, that actually they're boots on the ground that cause things to happen. Let me give you a couple. As you're there in that place, let me just read quickly some of our foundation scripture. Hallelujah. This is John chapter 1. And it's 49 through 51, and we've gone over this, so I'm not going to try to exhort it. It says that Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. We went through that whole scenario. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. If you'll remember, we spent a couple of weeks talking about angels ascending and descending, that Jesus was saying there will be angels. That word meant, that one particular word, verily I say unto you, hereafter you shall see angels and ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. There's one particular word in there. I had it out of the Greek. It means they will be in your midst. The vernacular is they will be in your midst. And so Jesus was saying, you're going to see in my ministry, because I'm anointed, angels will be assisting me and they will be in our midst. Here's the second witness from the New Testament. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? In other words, they minister with us and for us in these things. And we went over this over the last couple of weeks. One more out of the Old Testament, Psalms 103 verse 20 says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commands, hearkening, they're listening for the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his saints, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Amen. So we're going to make some decrees here. You're going to get a chance to exercise a little bit more in just a moment. But Isaiah 43, by standing, of course, not doing calisthenics. Isaiah 43, I hope you're there by now. Verse 1 says this. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by name. Thou art mine. Now, I said last week, and I'll say real quick because it's not really the point, that Isaiah was prophesying 120 years, 140 years before all this took place. Isaiah ministered along with four different kings while he was a prophet. He's the prophet that prophesied 150 years before King Cyrus ever came into the earth, that sent the Jews back into Jerusalem or back to Israel. He nailed it. 150 years before Cyrus is born, he names him by name and says there will be a king called Cyrus, and a Persian king that will return Israel back to its homeland. He nailed it. So I would say we need to listen to this prophet. He says in verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. This is a prophetic word to them then, but it's a prophesied seasonal word. Can you say that with me? It's a seasonal word.
It's a seasonal word.
Can you do better than that? It's a seasonal word. For us now, we lay hold on this. We own this. We possess this. This is ours. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, this thy Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia, Seba for thee. There's no need for us to even try to go into all that. Let's go on to the point. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring, now here's it, here's our prophetic. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Now we're seeing this as a harvest. Can you get this? Can you see this? It's a great harvest coming. I will say, and then we take the person of God. We're going to stand up in a moment, decree with God, speaking his word, and guess what happens? Angels, when they hear him, when they hear us take his word and speak his word, they hearken to the voice of his word. In other words, they're ready to do, not our commands. We don't tell them, oh, go get me a Pepsi, go get me a, that's foolishness. They hearken to inherited words that we've been given from God, and we're claiming a great harvest. We're claiming this is our inheritance. It's a great harvest of souls, thousands being born again. Now, listen, I also want to take something, an onus off your mind, that something that we're, that we want to get some big property and build a church where we can seat 5,000 people. That's not even the plan of God for this end time revival. This end time revival is not some kind of mega, and I'm not against mega churches, but it's not seeing how many people you can put in a building. That's not revival. It is, you're going to have something big enough to have a headquarters for the teaching, the training, the emanation of glory. And I don't know how big that is. It's going to be bigger than this, but it's not, we're not, the prototype of the book of Joel is not how many people that you can put in a building. It's out there on the streets. It's out there. It's the body doing the ministry. It's the body raising the dead. It's the body healing the sick. It's the body doing the evangelism. You may have a place that you meet every now and then or show up and say, my God, we're bringing them in, and these are the testimonies. But it's not. I can't tell you how much in the spirit that I hate, in a good sense, any thought of the capitalism of mega and big in that sense of the word. Before I finish the scripture, can I, because he's alerting me to something. I have, as I stand in my closet, my prayer closet, and as I walk back and forth, as I see into the spirit sometimes, I've got to tell you this, that in a really wonderful way, and if you please don't misconstrue this, but I fear, I really sincerely fear, and not in a phobia fear, but a godly fear, because I don't know if you know how quickly things can change when God breathes on something. They change and it goes into a place of momentum and expediting and growth and so many things in a growth process of a harvest. And I'm saying, Lord, don't let the harvest destroy your precious, and we are His precious. I think unless you've ever seen it, you may not know what I'm trying to describe, and that's okay. I don't want to elevate myself by saying that I've seen something you haven't, but it is very, there's a weight with it. What do you do with 1,000 people? What do you do with 500? What do you do with a great expansion? The disciples hardly knew what to do. I don't know that you're ever really ready. Acts 2 was an explosion. Acts 3 was an explosion with the healing at Gate Beautiful. Acts 2 with the 120. Jerusalem exploded. And right after that, Peter's shadow was healing the sick and people were bringing people in. It was just one thing about revival, it's momentum. Momentum is everything to revival. It's a constant momentum. And God is able to take you could call it, if you want a little fancy, if you could take a paradigm shift and all of a sudden it just shifts and you go, my God, where this momentum, where did it come from? And it's expedited. It seems like everything is just the crowds. And that's exactly what happened in Jerusalem. There was a momentum shift. Miracles caused it. Baptism initially caused it. Then the miracles precipitated an incredible growth in months, just thousands. And we're going to see that, but it's not fun and games. I'm asking you to stay with me in the spirit. I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to grow. By chapter 6 of Acts, the Greeks, the widows begin to murmur. They begin to complain against the Jewish people, the Jews, and say, our widows are being neglected. I don't know. That's here or there. Maybe they were a little bit. But always understand, murmuring is meant to stop momentum. Murmuring stops momentum. Murmuring stops momentum. They had the momentum, and the disciples were really, they were really walking in a 2.0 place because they realized, wait a minute, we're not going to discard their needs, but we're not going to let them, they're murmuring. They were saying, the Grecian folks were saying, our widows are being neglected in the daily administration. In other words, the giving out of funds and food. And they wanted, I'm not saying that's not important, but murmuring is sent to stop momentum, and revival is momentum. Always understand that. Revival is momentum. It's the momentum of the Holy Spirit. It's the juggernaut of something so bigger than what we've ever imagined. And once it starts, it won't stop. And that's why it's important for us to build real strong right now. Well, the apostles were 2.0. They said, look, you're not going to distract us. We love you, but you're not going to distract us. We're not going to start serving tables. Your murmuring is not going to cause us to come down. They said, choose out some people that'll help you. We'll lay hands on them and we'll ordain them. But as for us, we will do this. And this is what all preachers ought to do. If your preacher doesn't do this, I started to be real mean and say, leave the church. But I probably should say that. He said, what we will do, he said, we will do only two things. we will not serve tables, although we will make sure tables are served, but we will give ourselves continually, and the word is in there, continually. Everybody say continually. We will give ourselves continually to the word of God and to prayer. Every preacher, every pastor, that's his job. That's his job. I'd add another one, should be doing some fasting quite often too. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all ain't singing. Where's Sister Callie at? Lord, let the spirit of Sister Callie come upon us. Hallelujah. I need to finish this so we can stand and do this one part. Somebody tell me what verse I was at. 5. Did I read it? Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east. And this is prophetic, and gather thee from the west. I will say, and here's our declaration. We're going to say it together in just a moment, not now. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons, and these are all our spiritual sons and daughters from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have created him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, and let them hear and say it is true. You're my witnesses, he said, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God. I am. I am he. There was no God. There was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. I have declared. This is a continual thing of, I've said, I have declared, I have decreed, I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea or yes, before the day was I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and thou shalt let. And who shall let it? Hallelujah. So we're going to make some decrees from Isaiah 43. We're not going to finish the other because I'm not going to chop it up and run past it. I'll just start when I get back in 2 weeks. We will decree some decrees from Isaiah 43, knowing that we are commissioning angels on the basis of God's word. So let's all stand. This is where you stand. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. At home, it's an elective, whether you stand or not. But please decree with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this?
Sir.
Do you believe? Now, I want you to vision this. These angels are real. I could probably ask him and he'd tell me how many are up here with me. There's at least 3, I can tell you that. And these angels are working with us. They're very, very mighty. They're very, very strong. Next 2 weeks from now, we'll talk about the 12 legions that Jesus did not call for, that we're calling for. So therefore, we have the accessibility to legions, which are thousands. So I know this is a lot, but I want you to see these angels going after your family members with Holy Spirit. I want you to see these angels helping us bring in a great harvest, and that you are going to be men and women that are going to help us. It's not all about this pulpit. It doesn't centralize on me. You're going to be ministers. You're going to be men and women that will help out. And that's the greatest thing that this life is about. Is being a minister of Christ and getting people born again. Say this with me with great certainty. Father, we decree.
Father, we decree.
That you are the God that created us.
That you are the God that created us.
You're the God that formed us.
You are the God. God that formed us.
Now all this is exact out of right out of Isaiah 43. You are the God that has redeemed us.
You are the God that has redeemed us.
You're the God that has called us by name.
You are the God that has called us by name.
Father.
Father.
We are yours.
We are yours.
For a divine purpose.
For a divine purpose.
We are yours.
We are yours.
For this last day harvest of souls.
For this last day harvest of souls.
Our destiny has already been written in the scriptures.
Our destiny has already been written in the scriptures.
Angels.
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 Angels ascend.
Angels ascend.
And descend.
And descend.
Upon our calls.
Upon our calls.
And our ministries.
And our ministries.
Angels.
Angels.
Assist Holy Spirit.
Assist Holy Spirit.
To conform.
To conform.
To confirm.
To confirm.
To fulfill.
To fulfill.
Our destinies for revival.
Our destinies for revival.
Father.
Father.
We decree.
We decree.
Whatever deep waters we are going through,
whatever deep waters we are going through,
whatever deep waters we're going through now,
whatever deep waters we're going through now,
or in the future,
or in the future,
will not overflow us.
Will not overflow us.
We will not be drowned by them.
We will not be drowned by them.
We decree that whatever furnace of fire,
that whatever furnace of fire
that we are in right now, or will be in the future.
Or will be in the future.
It will not burn us.
It will not burn us.
It will not consume us.
It will not consume us.
Sickness and disease, you will not kill us.
Sickness and disease, you will not kill us.
Tragedy, you will not take us.
Tragedy, you will not take us.
False doctrine, you will not mislead us.
False doctrine, you will not mislead us.
Unforgiveness, you will not separate us.
We decree
that we are persuaded,
that we are persuaded
in all these things.
In all these things.
We are more than conquerors.
We are more than conquerors
through Him that loved us.
Through Him that loved us.
We are persuaded.
We are persuaded
that neither death,
that neither death,
life,
life,
angels,
angels,
principalities,
principalities,
powers,
powers,
things present,
things present,
or things to come,
things to come,
or height.
Or depth,
or depth, or any other creature,
or any other creature,
shall be able to separate us,
shall be able to separate us
from the love of God,
from the love of God,
which is in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Angels ascend,
angels ascend
and
descend
upon these words.
Upon these words.
Father, we decree,
Father, we decree
that you will bring our spiritual seed,
you will bring our spiritual
from the east. And gather them from the west.
Gather them from the west.
Here we go. We decree.
We decree.
And we say to the north.
And we say to the north.
Give up.
Give up.
And to the south, keep not back.
And to the south, keep not back.
Give up.
Give up.
Keep not back.
Keep not back.
Bring our spiritual sons and daughters.
Bring our spiritual sons and daughters.
From far places.
From far places.
And our spiritual daughters from the ends of the earth.
And our spiritual daughters from the ends
Amen.
Of the earth.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Give God. Give God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Bless.
Father, I bless this crowd and those that are watching. Let the power of your Holy Spirit just emanate through the camera and to their lives. We are in the decreeing process, and you told me recently we are the things have shifted and we are in a harvest mode. Things will begin to pick up. The momentum will continue to change. The inertia will come to a place where you guide us and lead us at a faster pace than we've ever known before. And yet we will not forsake our foundation. We love you, Jesus. We bless this crowd. We bless every person in this crowd. We pray that they go home with something today. We bless them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. God bless you. Hallelujah. We'll be here at 6 just praying if you want to join us. Hallelujah. We love you. Be blessed and have a great day.